الحمد لله رب العالمين، والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، ما بعد. قال المؤلف رحمه الله تعالى: باب ما جاء من التغليظ في من عبد الله عند قبر رجل صالح فكيف إذا عبده. يعني ما جاء من أدلة تدل على التشديد والتغليظ على من عبد الله، لا عبد غيره، ولكن عند قبر رجل صالح، أي عبد الله في مكان يخشى أن يعبد من دون الله، وهذا ذريعة إلى الشرك. هذا الفعل يؤدي إلى الشرك، فهو وسيلة. فإذا جاء الرجل وتعبد عند قبر رجل صالح، ظن الناس أنه يتعبد لصاحب القبر فيتخذونه إلها مع الله، فيعبدون القبر، تتسلسل الأمور. يعبد الرجل يعبد الله سبحانه وتعالى عند صاحب القبر، ثم بعد ذلك يأتي أناس ويرون ذلك فيظنون أنه يعبد القبر فيعبدون القبر، فهذا وسيلة تؤدي إلى هذا الشرك. فلذلك غلظ على الذي يفعل هذا الفعل ويعبد الله في مكان يخشى أن يتخذ إلها مع الله تبارك وتعالى. هذا معنى هذا الكلام، ففيه سد لذرائع الشرك، سد لوسائل الشرك. فالطريق التي تكون وسيلة قوية إلى الشرك تغلق، الشارع يغلقها، يحرمها حتى لا تؤدي إلى الشرك. هذا المقصود من هذا الباب. نعم.
الله يبارك فيك. الشيخ جزاه الله خيرا. He began, indeed, all praises to the Lord of all creation, and may the exaltations of Allah and His greetings be upon the one who was sent as a mercy to all of creation. Our foremost and our leader, the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam tasliman kathira. The author, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, said, chapter on that which has been revealed regarding the matter of the severe texts on those who have worshipped Allah by the sight of a grave of a pious individual. So what think you of one who worships that pious individual or that grave? Shaykh Jazahullah Khairan explaining this, he said, meaning that this is a chapter on the evidences that indicate the severity of this matter, the severity of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not other than Allah, by the sight of a grave of a pious individual. Meaning by a place that it is feared will become a place where other than Allah will be worshipped. A place that by observing the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in it, it is feared that the progression of events and the next step will be that it will lead to the worship of other than Allah, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The worship of other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be the next step after worshipping Allah in that particular site. Because this is a logical next step. So in other words, this is an opening of a door of evil and a pathway for the destruction. If a man, for example, comes and worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by that grave, then people looking at him will think that this he is worshipping that grave, and he's worshipping the person in the grave. And so these ignorant individuals observing that man will then start worshipping whoever is in that grave and worshipping that particular site. And so this is a pathway that leads to evil. And so it is for this reason that the texts regarding this matter that govern it and divulge the ruling regarding it are extremely severe, because these are texts that close that pathway and seal that door and prevent the evil from coming upon the ummah in this fashion. It is for this reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade this. Because it is a very strong likelihood that this first step will lead to a great evil that comes after it. تفضل شيخ.
قال رحمه الله وفي الصحيح عن عائشة أن أم سلمة ذكرت لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كنيسة رأتها بأرض الحبشة وما فيها من الصور فقال أولئك إذا مات فيهم الرجل الصالح أو العبد الصالح بنوا على قبره مسجدا وصوروا فيه تلك الصور أولئك شرار الخلق عند الله فهؤلاء جمعوا بين الفتنتين فتنة القبور وفتنة التماثيل انظر بارك الله فيكم ها هنا ارتكب النصارى وسيلتين من وسائل الشرك العظيمة أدت بهم إلى الشرك أما الوسيلة الأولى فهي اتخاذ القبور مساجد بناء المساجد على القبور أو دفن القبور في المساجد تعظيما لها هذه وسيلة عظيمة من وسائل الشرك لذلك جاء التحذير من هذا الفعل من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كما سيأتي إن شاء الله في الأحاديث الأخرى لأن هذا يؤدي إلى عبادة القبور وهذا الذي حصل بالفعل فبعد أن اتخذت هذه الأمة القبور مساجد كما فعلت اليهود والنصارى الذين لعنهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على فعلهم هذا بعد أن اتخذوا هذه القبور في المساجد وبنوا عليها المساجد عبدوها مع الله تبارك وتعالى فصرفوا لها أنواعا من العبادات كالاستغاثة والاستعانة والنذر والذبح والدعاء وما شابه صاروا يعبدونها كما يعبدون الله أنت تستغيث بالله وهم يستغيثون بالقبر أنت تذبح لله وهم يذبحون للقبر أنت تنظر لله هم ينظرون للقبر أنت تستغيث بالله وتدعو الله هم يستغيثون بالقبر ويدعون القبر وهكذا هكذا حصل الشرك في هذه الأمة وانتشر بينهم حتى من الله عليهم بالمجددين وبينوا للناس الشرع والدين الحق فأخرجوهم من الشرك إلى التوحيد هذه الوسيلة الأولى والوسيلة الثانية هي تصوير الصور وصوروا فيه تلك الصور أي صوروا الصور في المساجد بنوا التماثيل والصور في المساجد وبعد ذلك صوروها طبعا بداية كما ذكر ابن عباس رضي الله عنه في قوم نوح نفس ما فعلوا نفس ما فعل أولئك فعلوا هؤلاء فصوروا هذه الصور كي يتذكروا عبادة أقوامهم والعباد فيهم ثم بعد ذلك عبدوها فكانت وسيلة إلى ماذا؟ إلى الشرك فلذلك حرمت التماثيل في شرعنا والصور التي تعظم حرمت في شرعنا لماذا؟ لأنها وسيلة إلى ذلك فهذه وسائل عظيمة من وسائل الشرك التي تؤدي إلى الشرك بالله سبحانه وتعالى فلذلك ها هنا ماذا قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيهم قال أولئك شرار الخلق عند الله من هم الذين بنوا على القبور مساجد وصوروا فيها تلك الصور فهذا الوصف علته لماذا قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هم شرار الخلق لسببين الأول بناء المساجد على القبور والثاني تصوير الصور في المساجد هذان السببان وسيلتان إلى الشرك لذلك حذر منهما النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وشدد فيهما كما في هذا الحديث وكما سيأتي إن شاء الله نعم
الله يبارك فيكم شيخ جزاه الله خيرا He continued from the words of the author رحمة الله تعالى عليه He said and in the Sahih referring to the books of Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim, on the authority of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that Salama radiallahu anha mentioned to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a church that she had seen in the land of Habasha, Abyssinia. And she mentions the statues that she saw within. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, those indeed are the worst of creation before Allah. Those, it is their habit that when a man, a goodly man, a pious man dies amongst them, they will build upon his grave a masjid and then carve within it or create within it those images, those statues. Those are the worst of creation before Allah. The Shaykh Jazahullah Khairan continued reading from the words of the author. He said, and so they have gathered between two fitnas, two tests, two tribulations, two calamities, the fitna of the graves and the fitna of the statues. And so Sheikh was explaining, he said, look how they fell into opening up two doors and falling into the prohibition of engaging in two pathways that lead to the worship of other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first of which is to take the grave sites as places of worship, or to bury the dead in within places of worship out of glorification and magnification for them. And this is why the warning came from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for this matter. For this will eventually lead to the worship of the graves themselves. This that has been committed by the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians, led to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invoking the curse of Allah upon them for that which they have done by putting the graves within the masajid, or putting the masajid on top of the graves, because it led later on to their worship of those graves. Exactly as the Muslims will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will mimic that worship and dedicate it to the graves. The Muslims call upon Allah and supplicate to Him. They call upon and supplicate to the dead within the graves. And they will seek their aid as the Muslim seeks the aid of Allah. And they will pledge acts of worship for them as the Muslim pledges acts of worship for Allah. And they will slaughter for their sake as the Muslim slaughters for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what happens with the people of polytheism until Allah Azza wa Jal sent them, the renewers of the deen, who clarified for them the matter and brought the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the first fitna that they have fallen into, and the first reason the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam issued this harsh warning against them. The second one is the fact that they have created statues within the masajid. And this was the beginning of shirk with the people of Nuh, as Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma mentioned in the hadith that we've already covered. So the same thing that was committed by the people of Nuh that led them to the worship of other than Allah is now being mentioned in this hadith, is exactly that which was committed by the people of the book, and it led them to the same eventuality, the worship of other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They build these statues hoping that they shall be reminders for them of the greatness of these people and their worship and their dedication to Allah. However, the result actually is that they will lead them, these statues, to worshipping other than Allah Azza wa Jal. And eventually they do worship them. And this is the reason why the creation of statues and images is forbidden in our legislation. For surely it is a tremendous pathway that leads to the great evil of shirk, of worshipping other than Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is why the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, those indeed are the worst of creation before Allah. They are the worst of all of those Allah Azza wa Jal created. And then the author rahmatullahi ta'ala clarifies why the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this harsh statement, said this severe statement. It is because of these two reasons. The first being that these masajid that were built upon graves. And the second being that within them they put these statues, these images of people. And these are surely two of the most likely methods by which people can be led astray and led to worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam issued this severe warning, as we have seen in this hadith, and as will come in other hadith that we will discuss. Tafadhal Shaykh.
قال المصنف رحمه الله تعالى ولهما عنها. لهما يعني للبخاري ومسلم, إن الحديث الذي تقدم هو في الصحيحين في البخاري وفي مسلم, أي عن عائشة قالت لما نزل برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, يعني لما نزل ملك الموت برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لقبض روحه صلى الله عليه وسلم, طفق يطرح خميصة له على وجهه. طفق يعني جعل, والخميصة ثوب كساء له أعلام. طفق يطرح خميصة له على وجهه فإذا اغتم بها كشفها, يعني إذا تضايق نفسه بسببها أزالها عن وجهه. فقال وهو كذلك لعن الله اليهود والنصارى اتخذوا قبور أنبيائهم مساجد يحذروا ما صنعوا, ولولا ذلك أبرز قبره غير أنه خشي أن يتخذ مسجدا. أخرجه يعني في الصحيحين. هنا يلعن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اليهود والنصارى, واللعن هو الطرد من رحمة الله, يدعو عليهم بالطرد من رحمة الله تبارك وتعالى على اليهود والنصارى. ما السبب؟ قال اتخذوا قبور أنبيائهم مساجد, هذا هو السبب. فارتكبوا ذنبا عظيما بجعل هذه الوسيلة موجودة بين أظهرهم وبفعلها, وهي اتخاذ قبور أنبيائهم مساجد. عظموا الأنبياء تعظيما زائدا حتى اتخذوا القبور مساجد, قبورهم, وثم انتقل الأمر إلى أن عبدوهم مع الله تبارك وتعالى, ولعنهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على هذا الفعل. يدل ذلك على أن هذا الفعل كبير من كبائر الذنوب وعظيم من عظائمه, وهي وسيلة إلى الشرك بالله. يحذر ما صنعوا, يعني هنا عائشة تزيد الأمر بيانا فتقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال هذا القول على فراش موته من أجل أن يحذر أمته من هذا الفعل كي لا يفعلوا فعله. ومع ذلك للأسف فعل الكثير منهم هذا الفعل, وبنوا على القبور مساجد وعبدوا أصحاب القبور, فوقعنا فيما حذر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم منه. لماذا؟ لأن الناس لا تقرأ, لا تتعلم, لا ترجع إلى كتاب الله وإلى سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, ويتخذون رؤوسا جهالا ورؤوسا ضلالا, فيفتونهم بجهل وبهوى فيضلونهم, وهذا الذي حصل. فأشرك الكثير من الخلق بسبب هذه الأمور. قالت ولولا ذلك أبرز قبره, أي لولا خشية النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من اتخاذ قبره مسجدا لأبرز قبره مع قبور أصحابه الذين كانت قبورهم في البقيع. لولا خشية الصحابة, عفوا, لولا خشية الصحابة أن يتخذ قبره كذلك معبودا مع الله, أو أن تبنى عليه المساجد ويعبد مع الله, لأبرزوا قبره ودفنوه في البقيع, يعني لأظهروه ودفنوه في البقيع, وليس بهم حاجة لأن يدفنوه في بيت عائشة رضي الله عنها, لكن خشية أن يتخذ مسجدا وأن يعبد مع الله تبارك وتعالى جعلوا قبره في داخل البيت محفوظا بعيدا عن تصرف الناس وأفعالهم. وهذا الأمر الذي فعله الصحابة من دفن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في بيته إغلاقا لذريعة الشرك, فهم خشية أن ترتكب تلك الوسيلة وهي بناء المسجد عليه ثم تؤدي إلى عبادته فعلوا هذا الفعل. انظروا إلى أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وإغلاقهم للذرائع، هكذا ينبغي أن نكون. نعم تفضلوا حفظكم الله.
الله يبارك فيكم شيخنا. شيخنا ذكرتم أن الخميصة هي الكساء له أعلام، والأعلام هنا بمعنى مثلا يعني التطريز يكون أو كذا،
يعني قريب من التطريز. طبعا يمكنك أن تفسره بهذا، ما في مشكلة.
الله يبارك فيكم شيخ، جزاكم الله خيرا.
يكون يعني عبارة عن ثوب أو شيء لكن ملون ألوان، يعني زي ما تقول لون أحمر أصفر أشياء زي هكذا.
أي نعم. The Shaykh جزاه الله خيرا. He mentioned from the words of the author رحمة الله تعالى عليه. He said ولهما عنها and on the authority of the both of them from her. And this is a reference from the author to the fact that this hadith that he will bring now is also in Bukhari and Muslim, like the previous hadith of Aisha رضي الله تعالى عنها, which was also in Bukhari and Muslim. And this is also on the authority of Aisha. She said لما نزل برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, when the angel of death descended upon the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, meaning for the collection of his soul upon the time of his death, when he was on his deathbed صلى الله عليه وسلم, he started placing a little piece of cloth that had apparently some embroidery or different colors upon it or the like. He started placing it on his face. He would cover his face with it. And then when he found it difficult to breathe, he would remove it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He kept doing this. So he said whilst he was in that state, may the curse of Allah be upon the Jews and the Christians. They have taken the graves of their prophets as places of worship. May the curse of Allah be upon the Jews and the Christians. They have taken the graves of their prophets as places of worship, as masajid. She explained, radiallahu ta'ala anha, saying, he was warning from that which was committed by them. And had it not been for this warning, then his grave would have been placed publicly. Meaning he would have been buried in the public graveyards by his companions, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, in al-Baqi'. The narration continues, however, it was feared that it will be taken as a place of worship. Meaning if it was placed publicly, then it would be taken as a place of worship. صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم أخرجاه. They both narrated this hadith. The Shaykh explains this hadith. He said the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم herein curses the Jews and the Christians. And a curse, the invocation of a curse, is to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove them from His mercy, exclude them from His mercy. And what is the reason for this severe punishment? The reason being that they have taken the graves of their prophets as places of worship. They would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on top of these graves and build places of worship upon them. And so, this led to their over-glorification of these prophets. And then, with the progression of time and the loss of knowledge, this led to the greatest of all of sins, which is shirk, the worship of other than Allah Azza wa Jal. And so this itself is a major sin that has deserved the invocation of a curse from the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because it is the opening of the door to the greatest of all of sins. And Aisha then said in further clarification that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this on his deathbed, said this as he was dying. And he wanted to warn his ummah from following in the footsteps of those before them. And this is exactly what has happened. Many of the people of this ummah did not heed that warning, and they fell exactly into that which the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned of. They did not read. They did not learn. They did not go back and return their affairs to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger. And they placed in charge of them and in charge of their affairs ignorant individuals, people who are misguided. And so, as a result of this, many of them ended up worshipping other than Allah Azza wa Jal. She explains that had it not been for this fear, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have buried him publicly, along with the graves of his companions. And there would have been no need to bury him at home, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But rather the affair is that in order to seal that door of fitna and to close that pathway that leads to destruction, they closed this door and buried him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in a protected place where he is not accessible to the ignorant who may want to worship upon his gravesite or even worship him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
ثم قال المؤلف رحمه الله ولمسلم عن جندب بن عبد الله قال سمعت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قبل أن يموت بخمس وهو يقول إني أبرأ إلى الله أن يكون لي منكم خليل فإن الله قد اتخذني خليلا كما اتخذ إبراهيم خليلا ولو كنت متخذا من أمتي خليلا لاتخذت أبا بكر خليلا ألا وإن من كان قبلكم كانوا يتخذون قبور أنبيائهم مساجد ألا فلا تتخذوا القبور مساجد فإني أنهاكم عن ذلك فقد نهى عنه في آخر حياته ثم إنه لعن وهو في السياق من فعله والصلاة عندها من ذلك وإن لم يبنى مسجد وهو معنى قولها خشي أن يتخذ مسجدا فإن الصحابة لم يكونوا ليبنوا حول قبره مسجدا وكل موضع قصدت الصلاة فيه فقد اتخذ مسجدا بل كل موضع يصلى فيه يسمى مسجدا كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم جعلت لي الأرض مسجدا وطهورا قال عليه الصلاة والسلام إني أبرأ إلى الله أن يكون لي منكم خليل أي أمتنع عما لا يجوز لي أن أفعله والخلة هي مثل المحبة إلا أنها أعظم منها والخليل هو المحبوب غاية الحب فالخلة درجة ومنزلة من المحبة إلا أنها أعلى منها وأعظم فإن الله قد اتخذني خليلا يعني الله سبحانه وتعالى قد اتخذ نبيه خليلا فالله سبحانه وتعالى يحبه محبة عظيمة ولو كنت متخذا من أمتي خليلا لاتخذت أبا بكر خليلا وهذا يدل على منزلة أبي بكر وحب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم له وأنه أحب الناس إليه صلى الله عليه وسلم لو كنت متخذا من أمتي خليلا لاتخذت أبا بكر خليلا فأبو بكر أحب الناس من أمته إليه صلى الله عليه وسلم ثم قال يعني وامتنع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من اتخاذ الخليل لأنه خليل الله تبارك وتعالى كما بين ذلك قال فإن الله قد اتخذني خليلا فاتخذه الله سبحانه وتعالى خليلا كما اتخذ إبراهيم خليلا ولو كنت متخذا من أمتي خليلا لاتخذت أبا بكر خليلا ألا وإن من كان قبلكم هذا الشاهد عندنا الآن نحن هنا قال ألا وإن من كان قبلكم كانوا يتخذون قبور أنبيائهم مساجد من الذين كانوا قبلنا يعني بذلك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اليهود والنصارى هم الذين اتخذوا قبور أنبيائهم مساجد ألا فلا تتخذوا القبور مساجد هذا نهي واضح وصريح ينهى عن هذا الفعل لأنه ذريعة إلى الشرك بالله تبارك وتعالى فاتخاذ القبور مساجد الذي فعله اليهود والنصارى أدى بهم إلى عبادة أصحاب القبور عبادة الأنبياء الذين اتخذوا قبورهم مساجد فلذلك أراد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يغلق هذا الباب تماما حتى لا يؤدي إلى هذا الأمر وهو الشرك بالله سبحانه وتعالى ألا فلا تتخذوا القبور مساجد فإني أنهاكم عن ذلك هذا نهي صريح واضح ما بعد هذا النهي من نهي واضح بهذا الوضوح أي نعم فقد نهى عنه في آخر حياته قبل موته بقليل حديث عائشة المتقدم وهو على فراش الموت، وهذا حديث جندب قال قبل أن يموت خمسة أيام. ثم إنه لعن وهو في السياق، يعني لعن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فاعل ذلك من فعله، وهو دل عليه حديث عائشة المتقدم. والصلاة عندها من ذلك، الصلاة عندها يعني الصلاة عند القبور، لا تبني عليها مسجدا لكن تذهب وتصلي عندها. يقول المؤلف الآن الصلاة عندها يعني عند القبور من ذلك، يعني من اتخاذها مساجد. لماذا؟ قال وإن لم يبنى مسجد، يعني وإن كنت ما بنيت عليها مسجد ولكن ذهبت وصليت عندها فقط، تكون قداخلا فيما نهى عنه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. لماذا؟ قال وهو معنى قولها خشي أن يتخذ مسجدا، فإن الصحابة لم يكونوا ليبنوا حول قبره مسجدا، وكل موضع قصدت الصلاة فيه فقد اتخذ مسجدا. هذا ما يعنيه المؤلف رحمه الله، يعني أن النهي الذي ورد فسره المؤلف رحمه الله باتخاذ تلك القبور محلا للصلاة، حتى وإن لم تبني مسجدا، مجرد أن تذهب وتسجد هناك فقد اتخذته مسجدا، بل كل موضع يصلى فيه يسمى مسجدا، كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم جعلت لي الأرض مسجدا وطهورا، فالأرض كلها جعلت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مسجدا يعني يصلى فيها. ولذلك قال المؤلف إذا صليت في مكان فقد اتخذته مسجدا. هذا المعنى الذي يريد المؤلف أن يصل إلى أن حتى مجرد الصلاة بجانب القبور محرمة، عند القبور الصلاة محرمة لأنها من اتخاذها مساجد، ولا شك أنها وسيلة كاتخاذ المسجد أيضا عليها، فسواء اتخاذ المسجد عليها أو الصلاة عندها هي وسيلة واضحة جدا تؤدي إلى نتيجة واحدة وهي الشرك بالله سبحانه وتعالى. نعم تفضل ورحمة
الله. الله يزيد فضلكم يا شيخ. شيخنا في يعني ما يتعلق بالترجمة، في لفظة خليل كثيرا ما يترجمها بعض المترجمين بقولهم best friend، يعني معناه الصديق الأحب من الأصدقاء، يعني أكثر صديق مقرب من أصدقاء المرأة، فهل يعني يعد هذا صوابا في الترجمة ولا لا؟
لا فيه نقص، ليس تاما، لكن فسرها أنت بأنها تمام المحبة، غاية المحبة، يعني المحبة القصوى، هكذا ممكن أن تفسرها. نعم
طيب الله يبارك فيكم. شيخ جزاه الله خيرا. Continued from the words of the author رحمة الله تعالى عليه. He said and on the authority of Jundub ibn Abdullah رضي الله تعالى عنه found in the Sahih of Imam Muslim. He said, I heard the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, 5 nights before dying or 5 days before passing away, indeed I free myself to Allah that I take any of you as a khalil for me. The Shaykh explains the word khalil here is a word that describes a certain type of love. It is a form of love, however it is far more high and lofty than just regular love. It is the most high of all forms of love. The extreme end of loving is to have a khulla. So he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I free myself to Allah that I take any of you as a khalil, for surely Allah has taken me as a khalil, just as he took Ibrahim as a khalil. And had I wanted to, or if I was going to take a khalil from my ummah, then I would have taken Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu as a khalil. Indeed, and those before you used to take the graves of their prophets as places of worship. Or indeed do not take the graves as places of worship. For indeed I forbid you from this. The author said, commenting upon this hadith, so he sallallahu alayhi wasallam forbade this at the end of his life. Then, upon his deathbed, as he was passing away, he invoked the curse of Allah upon those who do so. And to pray by these grave sites is part of that, even if he does not construct a masjid, a building upon it. And it is in the same meaning of the statement of Aisha, that it was feared that it would be taken as a masjid. For surely the companions radiallahu anhum, they were not going to build around his grave sallallahu alayhi wasallam a masjid. And every place that the individual intends to pray in has been taken as a place of worship. Every place that you pray in is named a masjid. As the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, جُعِلَتْ لِيَ الْأَرْضُ مَسْجِدًا وَطَهُورًا. The whole of earth has been made for me a masjid and an ablution, a purification. Shaykh commenting upon this, he said, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, freeing himself to Allah from taking a khalil other than Allah azza wa jal, he explained that he has refrained from that which is not permissible for him. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken him as a khalil, and this is like loving, but it is greater than that. It is the extreme height of love. And this is a tremendous station and a lofty status that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would take a slave as a khalil. And this is a great love from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clarified that due to this reason, he will not take any khalil from mankind. However, if he was to take any khalil from mankind, that would be Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu. And this is proof for the tremendous station of Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu and his great status with Rasulullah, and how much love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for him. And then he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after clarifying this, that Allah has taken him as a khalil, exactly as Allah has taken Ibrahim before him as a khalil alayhi ma salatullahi wa salam. He said, and those before you, meaning the Jews and the Christians, they used to take the grave sites of their prophets as places of worship, or indeed do not do so. So he forbade them sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for I forbid you from this. And this is a clear forbiddance from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from this action. For surely this is what led them to the worship of other than Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is what led them to the worship of graves. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to close that door and seal it shut. And so he issued this clear forbiddance. And he in fact sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the author goes on to say, he forbade this in the end of his life and then he cursed. And this is what we understood from the previous hadith of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. As he was covering his face and then uncovering it, he was saying, may the curse of Allah be upon the Jews and the Christians. So from that hadith, we find that as he was passing away sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he cursed them for this action. And this is an indication that he wanted to seal that door sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for this ummah and not open it for them. And the matter that the author explains, that praying by the graves is part of this, even if he does not build a masjid, this is very clear, because the forbiddance is joined for the same reason, meaning that the same reason you would forbid building a masjid applies to performing the worship there even if no masjid is built. That reason being that it leads to the over-glorification and opening the door to shirk, opening the door to worshipping other than Allah Azza wa Jal. And so the people who do so, even if they do not build a masjid, do not build an actual physical building upon that gravesite, will still engage in that which leads to the matter of shirk and opens the doors and the pathway that leads to the worship of other than Allah Azza wa Jal. And so the companions, the author explains, we're not going to build a masjid specifically upon his grave sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but the matter is that every place an individual prays upon is called a masjid. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbidding this is actually saying, do not take it as a place of worship, does not mean do not build a masjid upon my grave. It actually means do not perform any worship upon my grave, whether you build a masjid or not. So in other words, it is not just forbidden to build a masjid. Rather, it is forbidden to build a masjid and it is forbidden to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by any graves. تفضل يا شيخ.
باب ما جاء أن الغلو في قبور الصالحين يصيرها أوثانا تعبد من دون الله.
هذا الباب. الله إليكم يا شيخنا.
نعم.
في النسخة التي عندي بقي حديث في هذا الباب الذي نحن فيه وقول المؤلف ولأحمد بسند جيد عن ابن مسعود.
أي نعم صح. طيب قال المصنف رحمه الله تعالى ولأحمد بسند جيد عن ابن مسعود مرفوعا إن من شرار الناس من تدركهم الساعة وهم أحياء والذين يتخذون القبور مساجد. رواه أبو حاتم بن حبان في صحيحه. إن من شرار الناس, وشرار بمعنى الشرير السيئين جدا, إن من شرار الناس من تدركهم الساعة وهم أحياء. هؤلاء في آخر الزمن, في آخر الزمن تأتي ريح طيبة تأخذ أرواح المؤمنين جميعا فلا تبقي على ظهرها مؤمنا. وهذا في زمن عيسى عليه السلام عندما ينزل إلى الأرض فتأتي ريح طيبة وتأخذ أرواح المؤمنين جميعا فلا يبقى فيها مؤمن, ويبقى شرار الخلق, شرار الناس من الكفرة والفجرة. فهؤلاء هم شر الناس. والذين يتخذون القبور مساجد, فجعلهم أيضا من شرار الناس لسوء عملهم ولشدة فساده, سواهم بالمشركين الكفرة, فعملهم وسيلة إلى الكفر بالله. فلذلك جعلهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من شرار الناس. وهذه أنواع من ذم هذا الفعل وتحريمه, لعن ونهي وعدهم من شرار الناس. أي نعم. تفضلوا حبيبي.
الله يزيد فضل شيء جزاه الله خيرا. Continue from the words of the author رحمة الله تعالى عليه. And on the authority of Imam Ahmad, with a good or sound chain of narrations, on the authority of Ibn Mas'ud رضي الله تعالى عنه, taking it back to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, that indeed from the worst of all of people, of all of mankind, are those that shall be alive at the time the Day of Judgment starts, and those who take the grave sites as places of worship, narrated by Abu Hatim ibn Hibban in his Sahih. In this hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, from the worst of people, meaning those who are at the very bottom of the pit of evil. This is from the word evil, shar. And this is due to the fact, when he mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those who will be alive when the hour comes, this is due to the fact that in other narrations we were told that a goodly wind will come nearing that time, the time of Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salatu wassalam, after his descent. And that goodly wind will collect the souls of every individual who there is good in him. And so by the time that wind is done with them, there shall be none alive that has any faith with him. So those who remain will be the worst of all of creation, the people of sin, transgression and disbelief. And then the Messenger ﷺ said, and those who take the grave sites as places of worship. So he sallallahu alayhi wasallam deemed them to be equal in evil and equally vile as those previously described, meaning those who shall remain alive at the time the hour of judgment begins. And this is because they have opened up this door that leads to the worship of other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so these ahadith, in their different ways of clarifying the severity of this matter, have in them different types of dispraise for the matter of taking the grave sites as places of worship.
قال المؤلف رحمه الله باب ما جاء أن الغلو في قبور الصالحين يصيرها أوثانا تعبد من دون الله. الغلو هو هو مجاوزة الحد الشرعي، مجاوزة الاعتدال والتوسط إلى ما هو زائد عما شرعه الله، تعظيم يؤدي إلى المحذور. هذا هو الغلو، والغلو في قبور الصالحين يعني تعظيمها أكثر مما شرعه الله، ومجاوزة الحد في ذلك يجعلها أوثانا. الوثن ما يعبد مع الله تبارك وتعالى فهو وثن، سواء كانت له صورة أو لم تكن له صورة. وهذه القبور إذا عبدت صارت أوثانا، فالغلو فيها يؤدي إلى عبادتها، يصيرها أوثانا تعبد من دون الله، تعبد من غير الله تبارك وتعالى. روى مالك في الموطأ، يقول المؤلف، أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: اللهم لا تجعل قبري وثنا يعبد، اللهم لا تجعل قبري وثنا يعبد. هذا دعاء النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، ألا يجعل قبره وثنا يعبد. لا يريد صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يكون شريكا لله في عبادته، فدعا الله سبحانه وتعالى ألا يجعل قبره محلا لعبادة لأن يعبد من دون الله تبارك وتعالى. قال: اشتد غضب الله على قوم اتخذوا قبور أنبيائهم مساجد، لأنهم غلوا فيها وتجاوزوا الحد وعملوا فيها بما لم يشرع لهم في شرع الله، عملوا فيها وسيلة تؤدي إلى عبادتها مع الله. نعم، تفضلوا.
الله يزيد فضلكم. الشيخ جزاه الله خيرا continued from the words of the author رحمة الله تعالى عليه that he brought a narration, or rather he brought a chapter heading, chapter on that which has been narrated regarding being extremist in the graves of the pious leads to making them idols to be worshipped besides Allah, elevated and blessed is He. And herein Sheikh explains that being extremist is a reference to going beyond the bounds of the legislation in any matter and leaving that which is considered the middle path and considered balanced. So leaving the balance and becoming extremist in a matter is leaving that which is legislated regarding that matter. In this particular affair, it is an over-glorification that will lead to disobedience, an over-glorification that will lead to that which is feared. So the Shaykh, Jazahullah Khairan, he explained that the word wathan mentioned by the author rahmatullahi alayhi means everything that is worshipped besides Allah, whether it is in an image, in a statue, it has a physical form or not. And the author rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi explained that what leads to them becoming awthan, becoming items worshipped besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is this over-glorification. Is this over glorification? And then the author, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, continued. He said, from the words of, or rather from the narration of Al-Imam Malik rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi in his book Al-Muwatta. He mentioned the hadith that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Allahumma la taj'al qabri wathanan yu'bad. Oh Allah, do not make my grave a wathan that is being worshipped. A wathan, as we mentioned, is anything which is worshipped besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be there a statue or not, be there an image or not. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in fear that this great harm would occur, in fear that he would be taken as a deity to be worshipped besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he made this dua and he supplicated to his Lord to save him from this. Oh Allah, do not make my grave a deity being worshipped besides Allah. And then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained, اشتد غضب الله على قوم اتخذوا قبور أنبياء مساجد. May the exaltations of Allah and His greetings be upon him. He said, surely the anger of Allah has become severe against a people who have taken the graves of their prophets as places of worship. Sheikh explained, hafidhahullah ta'ala, that the reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has become angry with them is because they have become extreme in their respect and their glorification of these gravesites. These gravesites of prophets are to be respected, but with balance. They are not to be treated with the reverence that these people are showing by worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal by these particular spots. This is extremism and ghulu, and this is crossing the boundaries of Allah and performing that which is not legislated by Allah Azza wa Jal or made part of His religion. Fadhil Sheikh.
قال المؤلف رحمه الله ولابن جرير بسنده يعني ابن جرير الطبري المفسر عن سفيان عن منصور عن مجاهد مجاهد بن جبر الذي قال عرضت التفسير على ابن عباس 3 مرات وعالم من علماء التابعين تلاميذ ابن عباس مفسر كبير أفرأيتم اللات والعزى قال كان يلت لهم السويق فمات فعكفوا على قبره وكذا قال أبو الجوزاء عن ابن عباس كان يلت السويق للحاج يعني كان رجلا يجهز الطعام على صخرة للحجاج فعظمه الناس واحترموه فلما مات عكفوا على قبره وعظموا تلك الصخرة وعبدوها مع الله فهي من آلهتهم بعد ذلك شاهد من ذلك وهذا قد تقدم الكلام فيه كله الشاهد هنا لماذا ساقه المؤلف نتيجة الغلو لأن الرجل كان فيه صلاحا يعظم الحجاج ويخدمهم غلوا فيه وتجاوزوا الحد فعبدوه مع الله تبارك وتعالى فصار قبره وثنا من أوثان المشركين نتيجة ماذا الغلو مجاوزة الحد وهذا تحذير من الغلو في الصالحين كي لا يعبدوا مع الله نعم تفضل
الله يبارك فيكم شيخا السويق ما هو
السويق هو نوع من أنواع الطعام يعني طعام كان يصنعه لهم على تلك الصخرة
The Shaykh Jazahullah Khairan continued reading from the words of the author Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi. He said, and on the authority of Ibn Jarir, with his chain of narration, on the authority of Sufyan, on the authority of Mansur, on the authority of Mujahid. And this Ibn Jarir that brings this narration is the Imam of Tafsir, Ibn Jarir al-Tabari rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, the explainer of the Quran, a scholar of exegesis of the Book of Allah. And as for Mujahid, that the narration goes back to, this is Mujahid ibn Jabr, the famous explainer of the Quran from the Tabi'een and from the students of Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the one who says that I have studied the Quran thrice with Ibn Abbas, asking him every time about every single verse we go through. He said, in the interpretation of the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ اللَّاتَ وَالْعُزَّةَ, have you seen two Allat and Uzza, the names of two idols that they used to worship? He said, regarding Allat, he used to perform a let of a certain type of food called As-Sawiq, and then he died. So they stayed by his grave. Meaning this was an individual who was generous, who used to put together this type of food using let, and he would give it out in charity. And so he became known for goodness, known for generosity. And he had high favor in the eyes of the people. So when he died, they over-glorified him and decided to worship by his grave. And this is exactly what was said by Abu al-Jawza and Ibn Abbas on the authority of Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He said, he used to make this sawiq, he used to make this type of food for the pilgrims. So the Shaykh explained, radiallahu ta'ala, how this is further evidence of the matter at hand, the matter of over-glorifying a grave of a pious individual leads to the worship of other than Allah. What started as love and respect for a pious individual who then passes away ends up becoming an idol known as Al-Lat and another known as Al-Uzza, being worshipped besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a matter that needs the closing of its doors from the very beginning, by not falling into this type of over-glorification and extremism. Fadl Shaykh.
قال المصنف رحمه الله عن ابن عباس قال لعن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم زائرات القبور والمتخذين عليها المساجد والسرج, رواه أهل السنن. زائرات القبور يعني النساء التي يزورن القبور, هذا الحديث ضعيف لا يصح. والرواية الصحيحة زوارات القبور, وزوار فعالة صيغة تدل على الكثرة, فلا يجوز للمرأة أن تكثر من زيارة القبور, وإن كان أصل الزيارة مشروعا إذا لم يتكن فيه مخالفة شرعية, لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مر بامرأة وهي عند قبر ابنها, فلم ينهها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن زيارته, ولكنه نهاها عن الجزع الذي كانت فيه. والمتخذين عليها المساجد والسرج, وهذا الشاهد من الحديث, من غلوهم فيها اتخذوا عليها المساجد والسرج. السرج يعني أضاؤوها, مصابيح, وضعوا عليها المصابيح فأضاؤوها تعظيما لها, فغلوا فيها وعظموها. كيف عظموها؟ بنوا عليها المساجد وأضاؤوها بالمصابيح, وهذا قد لعنوا بسببه. إذن فالغلو يؤدي إلى لعنة الله تبارك وتعالى ولعنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم, فهو محرم. لكن هذا الحديث ضعيف كما ذكرنا, وما صح يغني عنه. نعم.
الله يبارك فيكم. شيخ جزاه الله خيرا. Continued reading from the words of the author رحمه تعالى عليه, and on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله تعالى عنه, found in the Sunan. He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam invoked the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the women that visit the graves and those who take masjids, places of worship upon them, and lanterns. This hadith, the Shaykh explains, is weak, and we have no need for it because we've been sufficed by that which is authentic. In the authentic narration, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam used the word zawwarat instead of زائرات. In this narration, the women who visit. In that narration, which is authentic, the women who frequently visit the graves, excessively visit the graves. Because it is built upon the conjugation فَعَالَ زَوَّارَ. And that particular conjugation is an indication, is one that is used and reserved for the indication of plentifulness or frequency. So, the correct understanding is it is forbidden for women to frequent the graves, to visit excessively the graves. However, they are permitted to visit the graves without any excessiveness, without making it a frequent habit. For the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed by a woman who was sitting by the grave of her son, and he did not forbid her sallallahu alaihi wasallam from sitting by that grave. Rather, what he forbade her from sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the state of lack of patience that she was showing, that she was displaying. And then he mentions sallallahu alaihi wasallam another category that he has invoked the curse of Allah upon in this hadith: those who take the graves as sites of worship, and those who put the lanterns upon them, meaning from the over-glorification of the graves, and from being excessive in the matter of respecting these graves, they ended up placing and hanging lanterns upon them. Allahi barik fikum ya shaykh. Sallallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala yajzikum al-khayr ala ma qaddamtum wa an yu'azzima lakum al-ajra fi dhalik.
Allahi barik fikum, amin. Jazakum Allah khayr wa antum kadhalik.
Antum shaykhana. Allahi ahsan ilaykum.
Allahi barik fikum.
La nutir alaykum shaykhana. Tfaddal, Allahi salamakum. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
The Shaykh Jazahullah Khairan, he concluded the class at this point. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him tremendously for the benefits that he brought. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this beneficial for all those who participated. Sallallahu wa sallam ala Nabi Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Jazakum Allah Khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.